If you have any free time over the next couple days, hop on a plane, fly up to Buffalo, New York, and help the volunteers shovel out Highmark Stadium. Because the home of the Buffalo Bills is currently covered in like 6 feet of snow. And they need volunteers to go up and down the steps and in between the bleachers to get the snow, because they don't have enough like of those handheld snow blowing machines to get it done. So they need volunteers. Does it come with a ticket to the game or something like that? No, maybe yes, no, maybe so. We'll see. If you lived in town, would you volunteer to help shovel the snow out of the football stadium, Dom?
Volunteer.
That's what no. They're asking. No. They're asking for volunteer. No, this is not a paid job, sir. They're asking for volunteers.
Volunteers? No, I'm not volunteering at all.
I mean, you would think.
I
maybe,
need some sort of incentive.
Maybe they could pay, right? But no, they're asking for. Let me make sure I got this right. Bill Stadium needs volunteers. Let's see. I mean, how much would you pay for a person to come in? Show shovelers needed at Highmark Stadium for week 19. Bills request help from fans in shoveling snow. This is 4 hours ago. Okay, so if you're requesting help, you're asking for volunteers. They're requesting help. Yeah. Not do you need to make some extra money? You just spent all this money for Christmas and New Year's. I got a job for you. No, they're requesting help. And this is, wow. Hold up. Is this the final game in that stadium? Buffalo Bills need snow shovelers ahead of Sunday's game at Highmark Stadium, because is the new stadium, I hope it's a dome. If any team in the world needs
Boo.
A dome.
No.
Okay.
Cowards, get rid of the dome. We need weather in football. It is weak football to play in a dome all the time. I have no problem if you want to retract the dome occasionally, put the dome on if it's like too rainy or something, but football deserves to be played in the elements.
Excuse me, sir. You do live in a town with a dome, you know? I mean, we enjoy
That's what I said,
dome.
But we open it up here. They have the ability to open it up. I can respect
they
that.
They have the ability.
I can respect that. I can respect that.
They have the ability. In the 100-plus games that's been played in Mercedes-Benz Stadium so far, I think the roof's been open like five times.
I was going to say like three times.
Like five times. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They don't – it's got to be – I mean, pretty much Mother Nature herself has to call down to Arthur Blank and say, hey, man, it's 75 degrees and sunny. Why is my creation being blocked out? Okay? They do not open that roof for nothing. That thing is closed all the time. So we'll see. But no. Need volunteers. I'm gonna get up and play and go up there. I'm gonna go help them shovel the snow at Buffalo Bills Stadium. I don't think so. For them to play the Jets. And I think, like I said, this is the final, I guess if I'm reading this correct, this is the final home game ever at that stadium. And that's good, because I've been there twice, and that stadium is a dump. That stadium is definitely not a state-of-the-art, you know, up to the standards of what we call today's high-tech football stadiums up there in Buffalo. It's a great environment because it's like in the middle of a neighborhood. And, you know, it's one of those areas where people park up on the grass and folks have people parking in their front yard for parking, and you walk up a hill and bang, there it is. I was there when it was called, you know, it's called Highmark Stadium now. I call it Rich Stadium. That's what it was called for years, Rich Stadium in Buffalo, in Orchard Park. It's actually in Orchard Park, New York. And I had a ball. The two times I went there, I had a ball. One time was early in the year, so it was nice, and one time was in the cold. As a matter of fact, it was a late December game that I went there. It was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, pre-pandemic, but it was really cold out there, and I had a really good time, and the Falcons lost that day, but it is what it is. That was back when I was, you know, in my super Falcons fandom, because we were supposed to be playoff contending teams. Super Bowl contending teams every single year. You know, back when Matt Ryan and Julio Jones were arguably the best wide receiver and quarterback combo in the NFL, yeah, that was the time. And I went to a lot of road games back then. A lot of road games. Showed up, cheered, and that day was fun, but they did lose that day. I mean, they didn't like playing in the cold, I don't think. So that was that. So Dom, it is official. Ty Simpson is on the sideline because he has a reported injury. Okay? He's on the sideline. He's not in the back getting MRI done. He's on the sideline, but he's got a reported injury.
He's in full full tracksuit, sweatsuit.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but that injury can't be that bad. Coach, I'm getting my butt kicked. Get me out of here. That's that injury. Coach, I can't see. Coach, they're all over me. Coach, are they playing with 13 on defense, something like that? Because we are getting murdered. I don't. Ooh, my leg, my arm, my shoulder, something.
I mean, it makes sense to do that though, because I mean, if you're Alabama at this point, I mean, this game is over.
I mean,
and
well,
Ty Simpson may or may not be here next year anyway. So, let's see what we got behind him.
2 months ago, there were reports that Ty Simpson could be a first round draft pick next year. And what you've seen against Georgia in the SEC championship, and now what you've seen against Indiana in the college football playoffs, what general manager in the NFL thinks Ty Simpson is ready to be an NFL quarterback? Okay? He needs to go ahead and tell everybody, I'm coming back to college. Now, whether you're coming back to Tuscaloosa, who knows? But I just don't see why anybody would think that Ty Simpson is ready to be an NFL quarterback. He waited his turn. Yes, he did. He stood there and he waited and he finally got his chance to start. I give him respect for that because he probably could have transferred 3 years ago. I don't know how long. I mean, wasn't he there like 4 years before he got his chance, something like that? But I just don't see, as he's on the sideline in his uniform or in his sweatpants or whatever it is, his warm-up suit, that he's an NFL caliber quarterback, not at least a first rounder. But that was early in the year. I mean, there are draft stocks that go up and down so fast. There are draft stocks that go up and down so fast on these college quarterbacks that is crazy. Wasn't Cade Klubnik supposed to be a top five NFL draft pick? Wasn't Garrett Nussmeier, is that how you say his name, from LSU, supposed to be?
Garrett Nussmeier?
Nussmeier. Wasn't he supposed to be a top five NFL draft pick?
This was a year where there was supposedly a lot of hype for the quarterback class.
Draft class. This was supposed to be a record type.
It was supposed to be, you know, like it was a little bit of Fernando Mendoza at first, but it was Fernando Mendoza and like, okay, Cade Klubnik,
and there's at least one or two more.
Garrett Nussmeier, Lenore Sellers.
Lenore Sellers, South Carolina, was already going back.
Yeah, who's already declared to come back. So this was supposed to be a year where a lot of quarterback, Carson Beck, they were talking about him in Miami.
Well, 2 years ago, Carson Beck was the first pick overall.
Exactly.
Because he was at Georgia, right?
Yep. So a lot of that has tapered off.
Yeah, well, I mean, Carson Beck has a chance. Carson Beck, who will be playing in the semifinals, probably against the University of Georgia, has a chance to really improve his draft stock. He has a chance to say, hey, remember all this hype I had 2 years ago, 3 years ago? It wasn't fake. I'm not a fugazi, okay? Carson Beck can really make himself some money. He can go out there and say, hey, nope, not me. No, you ain't going to say this about me.
Yeah, I know what a fugazi is.
Carson Beck said, I'm the real deal. Now, he got a real defense to play, at least we think, we hope, when he plays the University of Georgia. Come on, dogs. Hour before kickoff down there in New Orleans, do what you got to do, okay? Do not like the first game. Dom, in the first game, of course, Georgia beat Ole Miss by the final score of 43-35, okay? But in the first game, Georgia trailed for over 35 minutes of game action, okay? Georgia was down 9 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, there was a lot of times this year where the dogs just would go out and spot a team 15, 20 points. Now, as the season progressed, the last month or so, the Georgia defense actually started playing like a national championship caliber defense. And the best part about it, okay, the All-American teams came out last week. Do you know how many players Georgia had on the first team All-American? One. C.J. Allen, the linebacker, was the only player from the University of Georgia that was a first-team All-American, okay? That means they're going to have a lot of players coming back next year, okay? They're not going to have 8, 9, 10 first-round draft picks, 15 overall draft picks like they had 2-3 years ago. No. That Georgia defense is actually pretty young. So with the exception of C.J. Allen and K.J. Bolden, if he decides to leave early, that might be the only two first-rounders on the Georgia defense. So they've got a lot of young talent, a lot of young talent that will be back in Athens next year. Plus, they'll bring in more. They got another top five recruiting class. They'll be in the portal just like everybody else, or let's call it what it should be. They'll be in free agency. They'll be in college football free agency. It's not a draft portal. It's not. It's free agency. That's what it is. It's who can pay the most to a young man who's looking for a new home. Who can sell him on their program, like, look, take this money and come here and win. It's college football free agency. Let's just be real in 2026. Let's not start 2026 telling lies. It's not a portal. It's free agency. We'll see what they do. I can't wait. I mean, I'll get done tonight about 10 o'clock. That should be right before halftime. Okay? Don, where are we going to go watch the second half? You going somewhere to watch the second half?
I'm going home.
That's where you're going to watch it, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I gotta go somewhere. I'm going to be talking for 4 hours. I'm going to be a little parched.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a little thirsty.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? And I don't drink beer. I do not like beer. Okay? I've never acquired the taste.
Mm.
So I'm going to go.
Unfortunate.
I might. What's your beer? You got a beer of choice? What's your beer of choice?
My beer of choice? So I like a good Stella.
I like a good Stella.
Okay. I really like some more of the more like locals, like craft stuff. So like I really like Sweetwater and Creature Comforts. I drink a lot of those too.
Okay. I don't know what any of those. The only local beer I know Sweetwater 420.
Yeah.
Too hoppy for me.
No, really? I like it. I love it. They have one of their breweries here down not too far.
It's over by the Beltline, right?
Yeah. I did a tour of the brewery one time.
Okay.
And stuff, and kind of got to see everything back
there.
How much
tasting did you do when you did that tour?
So I was technically there for a college course where I was like supposed to be reporting on something like that.
Really?
For one of my classes.
Okay.
So I didn't do too much drinking.
Exactly.
It was fun. You know, I had a really good time. I would definitely go back and like would love to actually like partake in the bar and stuff that's there.
Okay. Yeah. And then what's the other one? New Realm Brewery.
New Realm.
We've done stuff there at New Realm
mm-hmm.
Brewery.
Yep.
I mean, that's the only probably micro brews that I know, you know? So Sweetwater 420 and New Realm Brewery. But I might could get through a single Bud Light or Miller Lite. I just have never acquired the taste for beer.
I get it.
It's bitter.
I get it.
It's bitter and
tastes a little earthy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just bitter. I mean, but if you give me the easiest way to give me to drink a beer, put a plate of really hot chicken wings in front of me, and I'm gonna drink whatever glass you give me.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm gonna drink
That's
whatever
easy.
Glass you give me, because I'm just gonna swallow it cold. So there it is. And with that being said, in 3, 2, 1. And I'm not counting down New Year. That was yesterday. I'm counting down the end of Roll Tide. I'm counting down the end of Alabama's technically 2025 college football season, because it's over.
Kalen ain't Saban.
Kalen,
I've been saying it. Kalen ain't Saban.
Who is Saban, Dom? You can say, I mean, who? First off, you know that old saying, it's tough to be the man to follow the man, okay? You never want to be the man to follow the man.
Yeah, I know what a fugazi is.
Kalen DeBoer's a fugazi? Kalen, are you calling Kalen DeBoer a fugazi?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Right?
Just saying.
I mean, but he got him one win, right? He got them one win in the college football playoffs.
It was against Oklahoma.
One and done. Yeah, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What's his name? Brian, what's the coach of the Oklahoma Sooners? The old defense coordinator, Clemson? He's for sure a fugazi. Brian Venables, that's his name, Brian Venables? Yeah, yeah. Go back and be a defensive coordinator, bro. You are not a
Brent Venables,
that's him. Yeah. You're not a championship caliber head coach.
You're not that guy.
Yeah, you're not that guy. Well, everybody in Roll Tide Nation, all those hotel reservations you had booked for wherever the next game is, cancel them. Hope you didn't make no deposits. You ain't going. I hope you booked on Southwest where you can get your credit for a year, because you're not going. Indiana has advanced. The Hoosiers of college football are headed to the next round. We'll talk about what they'll do as they'll be playing the Oregon Ducks. That's a Big Ten matchup. We'll talk about that a little bit more here on Time Out with Eric Slaughter. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So the Hoosiers are actually on their way to the A. The Hoosiers will take on the Oregon Ducks in a rematch of a regular season game that was 30-20 here in Atlanta for the semifinals at the Peach Bowl. And exactly what day is the Peach Bowl on? I think it is on January 9th. So in exactly 8 days, a rematch. The Hoosiers are coming to the A. So, I mean, I guess, you know what? All those Alabama fans who thought they were returning to Atlanta, they didn't have to book no flights because they could just drive over. Well, they can, yeah. They can keep that gas money.
Absolutely.
Okay, they can cancel their hotel reservations because they're not coming to the A. They're not headed to the Peach Bowl. It's going to be Oregon versus Indiana, a rematch of a Big Ten game that was really close early in the season. We'll see. Now, you know what they say about beating the same team twice in 1 year. Will the Hoosiers be able to beat Oregon twice? Because they did it early in the year. Now, this is the crazy part, okay? This is the part that I just – Kalen DeBoer was supposed to be an offensive-minded coach, right, Dom? I mean, I know you're not his biggest fan, but he came from Washington where he had a quarterback named Michael Penix Jr., where he was in the college football final as the head coach of the Washington Huskies. And wasn't he supposed to be like a offensive genius type of coach, one of those kind of guys? Okay. Well, his team just scored 3 points against the Indiana Hoosiers in the college football playoff. Okay. I'm looking at Indiana's schedule this year. Now, of course, they're undefeated. They're now 14-0. They played Old Dominion in the first game of the year. Old Dominion scored 14 points. They played the Kennesaw State Owls. You know that team up 75?
Who?
Who? Yeah, the Owls. Ooh, yeah. They scored 9 points. They shut out Indiana State. That's a basketball school. That's Larry Bird school. They shut them out. Illinois scored 10 points. Iowa scored 15. Oregon scored 20. Michigan State scored 13. UCLA was the worst team in college football for like the first 9 games of the year. They scored 6. All these teams, I mean, the Maryland Terrapins, my home state, once again, a basketball school, scored 10. All these teams scored more points against Indiana than Alabama did today. Alabama can only muster 3 points against the Indiana Hoosiers. I mean, what does that say? Does that just say they were that unprepared? Does that say Indiana is – I mean, is Indiana really that good that they held Alabama to 3 points? Alabama team that was down 17-0 to Oklahoma came back and won the game? Could only score, and the backup quarterback had to do that? Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, 3 of your 4 semifinalists are in. Miami, Oregon, and Indiana. One to go.
So let me ask you, because this has kind of been giving way to the whole, do you really want the bye week? Because I think now in the history of the CFP, the teams that have the bye week are like 0-6 now.
It's not real good. Didn't all 4 of them lose last year?
Yep. I think they're 0-6 with teams that had the bye week.
Well, because Indiana's the first team.
Oh yeah, they were. Yeah.
So they were 0-6 coming. So now they're 1-6.
Mm-hmm.
Because all 4 of them lost last year.
Yep.
Because Ohio State did not have the bye last year. Oregon had the bye last year, right? Because they won the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Georgia had to buy because they won the SEC. I don't remember the other two, but yes, all 4 of them lost last year.
Didn't SMU have a buy or something like that weird last year?
For winning the ACC? Probably.
I think so. I think that's what it was.
Arizona State was a top 4. They lost. I don't think it was SMU. I think Arizona State jumped them.
Yeah, Arizona State.
And I have to go back.
Regardless, though, that bye week is now. My question
rust
more so is
versus rest.
Yeah, I would say because like now, people are saying the question is becoming: is the bye week an issue or is the seeding an issue?
Boise State was the other.
Boise State.
So it was Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, Arizona State.
Okay,
and they all lost. That's a great question. That's a great.
Is the bye week an actual disadvantage, or is this maybe just showing us that this is maybe more so on the committee and
think about it like this. 3 weeks ago, when Georgia beat, was it Texas? Who they played the last regular season game, and then Alabama won. I mean, remember Georgia needed like 3 things to happen to get into the SEC championship game, okay? They needed Alabama to beat Auburn. they had to beat whoever, and we need another team to lose. And lo and behold, Georgia gets into the SEC championship game, right? And Kirby goes, well, we want to play. We don't need rest, okay? We want to play. And they were like, well, you're already guaranteed a spot. You're going to be probably a top four team. So if you don't play in this game, you're going to have well over a month off. And he was like, "Is that might be too much time. We want to play." Well, we'll see tonight, because in 30 minutes, I mean, if they hadn't made the SEC championship game and they probably were still going to be a top four seed, they could have been sitting. The Georgia Tech would have been their last regular season game. That would have been before. It would have been before December, because the SEC championship game was December 6th. It was on my birthday. It was on a Saturday. Okay. I was on air. Me, you, and Coach was in here. Remember that?
Yes. Okay? Yes, I do. Yes.
Right? They played Georgia Tech the week before. They sat back and they had to watch and wait to see what happened in the Iron Bowl and the Egg Bowl and somebody else's bowl. Texas A&M had to lose. Okay? And somebody beat Texas A&M and Georgia got in. So they had to play another game. They would have sat for a month maybe. So, I mean, we just don't know. We just don't know. I can say this. I'll say this for sure. Georgia got disrespected because they should have been the two seed. Ohio State proved that today. They should have been the two seed. I'll put some respect on Indiana's name. I did not expect this today. Is Indiana that good, or did Alabama just choke? Is Alabama just not what they've been in the past? And I know a lot of Alabama fans are listening. 404-726-0929. Call me and tell me. Is Indiana that good? Is Alabama just a lot further down than we expected? Is that drop-off from Nick Saban to Kalen Boer just that steep? Wow. Here we go. Well, heading to the A on January 9th is Indiana and Oregon. Big Ten invades the A. I'm going to be looking forward to it. I actually have a credential for that game, so I'm really happy about that. I'm going to have a good time in there. I will wait to see what kind of uniform Oregon has on. Like I said, they played in the regular season. The final score was 30-20. My guess is they'll score more than 50 points combined in that game. The over-under for that game is going to be like 60. The over-under today was 46.5, which I thought was kind of low. But turns out they knew what they were doing, because somebody knew that Alabama was only going to score 3 points. That's crazy. Indiana was a 7.5-point favorite at the closing line. Don't know what it opened at. But the closing line, they were a 7.5-point favorite. Well, they beat that by far. They covered that spread with no problem. They covered that spread like mayonnaise. So they are in, and we will see. You got one more spot open. It will belong to Georgia or Ole Miss. A rematch, another regular season rematch. So we'll have a couple more in the semifinals. We've got one today. Once again, a Georgia team that spotted Ole Miss like 20 points or something like that, back when Georgia was spotting everybody. Georgia, the first half of the year, was letting everybody get up on them. Then they would walk them down in the second half. They don't need to do that tonight, okay? I think I read somewhere, did I hear somewhere, that Lane Kiffin's going to be doing like TV commentary for this game or doing something for some network. I mean, we'll see. We'll see whether or not.
That can only go right.
Well, I mean, that's what I think I read. To see if you can confirm that for me, Dom, that Lane Kiffin is going to be in somebody's booth giving some type of analysis for this game. But he'll be in New Orleans. I mean, he should be. What he really should be is sitting in the suite cheering on all the guys he recruited, cheering on the guys he coached up, cheering on the guys that he got him there. I mean, I'm not upset for Lane Kiffin for leaving Ole Miss to go to LSU. Who really is? Nobody. You cannot be upset for that man thinking that LSU is a better job, because let's be real, LSU is a better job, okay? You can't be upset that this man says, look, I want to compete for national championships. And when LSU is right, he will be competing for national championships. He should be there cheering on his squad. Where's he going to be doing tonight?
So I was going to say, based off of what I can see here, it looks like Lane tried to get a commentator spot.
And he got turned
down? With ESPN to broadcast for the Ole Miss and Ole Miss Georgia game for the Sugar Bowl today. Was rejected. He wanted to be a guest analyst, and I guess they weren't receptive to the idea.
Really?
And because of that, he just decided to skip the game entirely.
He's not even in New Orleans.
That is what
I'm reading
here.
Isn't it an hour and a half from his new house, his new job? I mean, that makes no sense. He's in the state, right? He ain't recruiting. It's New Year's Day. He ain't no recruiting done. They done that. I mean, he might be watching film somewhere, okay? But he now see to me that just that's a bad look. Okay, so ESPN said no, thank you. That's fine. Be in the building, cheer on all the young men that you recruited and you coached up. I just hopefully he woke up this morning and went on Game Time or StubHub or whichever one of those sites you use, and he bought a ticket like a regular person. And hopefully he's in the building tonight. I mean, he could have got a credential probably. But
seeing some reports that he might instead attend the LSU women's basketball game against Kentucky.
Okay. He could go to both. If it's is it in Lexington or is it in Baton Rouge? That's like an hour drive. It's like an hour and a half, depending on how fast you drive. It's not far. I've done it. It's not far at all. One time I was going to New Orleans. I couldn't find a good flight, so I flew into Baton Rouge and drove to New Orleans. It took me like an hour and a half. Go to both. You could be there by halftime. Something. Just I don't like that. He needs to be in that building.
I mean, this is
maybe
this
just is, can't stand to see him lose.
I say this is Lane Kiffin we're talking about. How often has he
done the right thing?
Done the right thing, or really cared about what anyone out like public perception was going to be about? You know, like the consequences of his actions. He just kind of does whatever he feels is best for him and keeps it pushing.
Well, there we'll see. Well, I mean, the bottom line is we don't think they're going to win. No one. I mean, there's probably some people that think Mississippi has a chance. They probably all reside in the state of Mississippi. But most of the betting football fan base, most of the knowledgeable football fans are all picking Georgia to win this game. I have not seen the picks of the college ESPN crew that's going to be there tonight. I didn't see College Game Day today. Maybe one of those idiots might have picked Mississippi, Ole Miss to upset Georgia. But anybody with any real knowledge of college football are not really giving the Rebels of Ole Miss a chance to win this game as they kick off.
Yeah, I know what a fugazi is.
That's what it is. Ole Miss had a great year, okay? They took a Division II quarterback and made him an all-SEC caliber performer. They're in the college football playoff. They won the first game pretty easily. That was an easy bet. That was a real easy bet. Tulane had no chance. And now they're going to play Georgia again. And, yes, they gave him a challenge the first game, but even though Georgia took over in the second half, this game, hopefully, is not even that exciting tonight. It'll be probably about 11:30 before it's over, because they're going to kick off right before 8:30. It's going to be a late night for them, but hopefully that game is not even anything worth talking about that's close in that form of a game. So we'll see. We'll take a little time out. When we get back, Dom, it's time for some questions. It's time to see if we can get some phone calls at 404-726-0929. I got two questions for you, and I can't wait to hear your opinions. Time out with Eric Slaughter here on Sports Radio 929 The Game on this happy new year, January 1st. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back to Time Out with Eric Slaughter on this New Year's Day. Happy New Year 2026. 7:40 p.m. live from the Kia Studios. About 25, 30 minutes before the next college football playoff game will start between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Mississippi Rebels, Ole Miss, the Rebels of Ole Miss down there in NOLA at the Louisiana Superdome, Caesar Superdome, whatever they call it nowadays. I think Mercedes-Benz took their name off of it, right? I think it's called the Caesar Superdome nowadays. Georgia's a touchdown favorite in this game. And Georgia, of course, looking to become the fourth and final team of the college football playoff semifinals. Oregon, Indiana will play in one game. And right now, Miami's going to be sit back watching, probably in some lavish Miami hotel or on campus or somewhere. They're watching this game and going to wait to see who their opponent is going to be. That would be pretty cool, because wasn't Who's Miami's coach? Mario Cristobal. He coached an SEC at some point, didn't he? Wasn't he part of somebody's staff? Who knows? You know, but it'd be pretty cool. You got two guys there. If it's Georgia and Miami, you got two guys, two coaches that are leading their alma mater. Mario Cristobal was a offensive lineman for the Miami Hurricanes back in the day. And, of course, Kirby was a all-SEC safety for the Georgia Bulldogs. So we'll see. We need Georgia to take care of what they need to do. But since we have about 30 or 40 minutes before this next game kicks off, and not really much more I need to say about the butt kicking that Alabama just took. I mean, I've beat that dead horse. I beat that horse like Michael Irvin beat that water jug that Don was telling me about. Leave them alone. I'm not going to pull salt into that wound anymore. Alabama fans, go cry in your beer for the rest of the night. It's done. Your season's over. Indiana fans, go celebrate, pop some champagne. You got a matchup coming. Come on down today. So I figured this is the time of the show where maybe we can get some interaction. So 404-726-0929. I was sitting around thinking of some ideas to talk about tonight and looked back at the 2025 sports year in this town. And truth and behold, it was not a good sports year in this town. Truth and behold, it was a really bad sports year in this town. Let's look back. We need 2026 to be much better in this town for our sports teams, okay? Now, two of our teams are still technically playing. Two of them are long done, okay? Let's talk about the two teams that have been done and been done for a while, okay? We're going to start with Atlanta United. Atlanta United came into 2025 with playoff expectations. I wouldn't say that they were a MLS Cup type of contender coming into the year, but most soccer analysts, and where's Jason Longshore when I need him? Dom, you definitely can tell me because you're part of the Atlanta United radio network. You're the producer for it.
Yep.
When the season started, most people said, yes, Atlanta United has a new good coach, talented roster, guys coming back from injury, Brooks Lennon. You got a goalie who's still playing pretty well. Atlanta United should be a playoff caliber team, right? That was the predictions.
You were expected to be, at the very least, like a top three seed. Yeah.
And so, what did you end up being? The second to worst team in all of Major League Soccer. The second to worst team, finishing with a 5-13-16 record. You won five matches the entire year to finish next to last in MLS. Wasn't a good year. Okay? The Braves. Season's been over for 2.5 months. We all know the Braves came into the year thinking they could possibly return to the World Series. They come into the season every year thinking, man, we have a World Series caliber team. You got a Cy Young Award winner from the previous year. Ronnie should be back in 6-8 weeks, and hopefully he'll return to MVP caliber form. You had Spencer coming back from injury. You had Iglesias was a good closer. Austin Riley, all types of firepower up and down the lineup. Braves have been in the playoffs. We've been in the playoffs 8 straight years, something like that, right? We won the division 5-6 straight years. Won the World Series 3 years ago. We definitely going to the playoffs. What happened to the Braves? Finished 76-86. 10 games out of .500. Fourth place. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fourth place in the National League East. Was not a good 2025 for the Atlanta Braves. Two of our teams currently still playing. One for two more days. In September, we all knew this was the year that the Falcons' playoff drought was coming to an end. The Michael Penix era begins. We got Bijan Robinson, who is the NFL Offensive Player of the Week, NFC Offensive Player of the Week. We got a top three receiver in Drake London. We got two brand new spanking first round draft picks on the defense. We actually can get to the quarterback this year. We've proven that. This was the year. 2025, that was the year. This was it. Playoffs, baby. Playoffs.
It's a fake. Yeah, I know what a fugazi is.
Yeah, absolutely. That spot on. What's going to be the worst part about this year come Sunday is if we beat the Saints, and the Saints are playing really good football, we could end up with the same record as both the Panthers and the Bucks. And we still can't win the division. We've been eliminated for a month now. As a matter of fact, I know they talked about it here, but if you haven't been reading the stories, actually, if we win Sunday against the Saints, we actually gift the division to the Panthers. We just gifted to them. Here you go. Congratulations. You ain't even got to win tomorrow. They play on Saturday. They can lose Saturday, then just sit back and say, Falcons, do us a favor and beat the Saints, and we are still division champs. That's not good. That's bad. So that's three teams. United won five matches all year. The Braves should have been a playoff team, World Series contender, finished fourth in the division. The Falcons, you can have the same record, you can't make the playoffs. And then lastly, it was the Hawks, okay? The Hawks, now, this is the one team that kind of makes it hard for you because their season ends in the middle of the year. So which one of the years is what we're going to talk about? What happened in 24-25? Well, guess what? You were a play-in team again. In 25-26, we just knew we're going to be a top four seed this year. Do you know right now if the playoffs start, we're in 10th place? A month ago, we were like third in the East. Now we're in 10th. So which team? None of them had a good 2025. So my actual question is this. 404-726-0929. Of the Hawks, Braves, Nationals, and Falcons, which team needs 2026 to actually be their year? The most. They all need a turnaround. You can't do nothing but go up, right? Atlanta United can't be the second worst team in soccer again. The Braves can't finish. I mean, the Mets are having a fire sale. The Mets getting rid of everybody. Okay, the only thing the Mets gonna have left is Juan Soto. Okay, the Marlins can't. There's no way in the world the Marlins is going to finish better than the Braves in the National League East again, right? Not in 2026. That can't happen again. Okay, and thank God our Falcons season, even though they play one more game, we're not going to playoffs. Thank God this year is over because this year's just turned into. Come Monday, we'll see what happens. Now, who has a job come Monday this time? But my question, 404-726-09, which one of our teams needs 2026 to be their year the most? They all got to improve. None of them can run this back. None of these teams can underachieve like they did in 2025. Because when I went back and I looked at this, I just had to say, oh my goodness. All these teams have underachieved in 2025. Thank God the calendar's gone. We need a new sports year in this town. We've got to have a new sports year in this town. And guess what? We can even throw the Dogs in there because the Dogs went into the playoffs last year and got whooped by Notre Dame. Did they have a good year? Yes. But they were playing in the SC Championship thinking they was going to make a run to the title. And then they got whooped by Notre Dame. This was 2025 was not a good sports year in this town. Braves underachieved. United underachieved. Falcons underachieved. They're underachieving right now. And the Hawks are now all of a sudden 10th in the East. And if we don't make a change by the NBA trading deadline, it could just keep getting worse. Which team in this town needs the best 2026? Now, I'm going to give you my answer before we take your calls, 404-726-0929. Atlanta United, you got a new coach. You got some young players. Hopefully you can improve, maybe get back on the cusp of the playoffs in 2026. But just don't finish next to last. You're doing okay. The Falcons. I mean, we ain't even done with this year, but we all know we're not going to the playoffs. This is supposed to be the year the drought ends. 2026, we don't know who our quarterback's going to be. We might not know who our coach is just yet. There's going to be so many questions about the Falcons going into 2026. Can you really sit here on January 1st and tell me that come training camp, you're going to look at the Falcons roster, maybe new coaching staff, and say, yep, I'm convinced this year the playoffs end. That's what we all said in September. That's what we all said in August when they reported to camp. This has to be the year we make the playoffs. There's going to be so many questions about this team come next year. There's no way we're going to sit here and say, yeah, I believe the drought's coming in. So it's probably two more years. Even if Michael Penix is back and he says I'm healthy, you might have a new – you just don't know. You don't know. And still the Hawks, I mean, we got another half a season, but does this team really look like a championship caliber team?
Well, here's – the Hawks is an interesting one because in my opinion, I would say that for the Hawks, at least with this second portion of the year, I feel like at the very least you kind of got some clarity on...
But we don't know what the roster's going to look like in 6 weeks.
But, well, that's what I'm saying is that at least with the reports that maybe they're putting Trae Young, you know, up on the trade block or whatever.
And they're getting no phone calls. That's what the report says. Two things. They've floated his name out there and the phone's not ringing. That's what the reports say.
Well, still, but even still, at the very least, you now are at a point where we know this team has a direction. The direction is Jalen Johnson is the focal point.
Which he needs to be.
And we are moving on from Trae Young. At the very least, we know we have clarity as far as, hey, this is no longer the Trae Young era. The team is moving on, and we at least have an established guy that we feel like can be a star and a core piece to build around moving forward.
Okay, but so, how long does it take Jalen Johnson to get us to be a real playoff contender? Because no one is looking at this team right now. Porzingis has got, unfortunately, a health issue. Trey's on the trading block. Jalen should be an all-star, no problem. But this team is not a true contender. So yeah, there's three of the four right there.
Yeah, you're still a couple pieces. I mean, hey, maybe trading Trae Young is how you get those pieces.
Okay, so that pretty much by default gives you my answer. Okay, in 2026, the Atlanta Braves have to have the best year of our sports franchises. Okay, we are going to be healthy. We should have Ronald from day one, Strider from day one. We'll have a new coach, Walt Weiss, come in here and hopefully get this ship going in the right direction. The Braves have to have the best turnaround in 2026 of the teams in this town. The Braves are the one team that this fan base, this state, is supposed to be able to hang our hat on year in and year out and say, guess what? If there's one team that might could bring us a championship parade year in and year out, it's supposed to be the guys up there in Smyrna playing at Truist Park, okay? 2025 has to be a blip on the radar. So in my opinion, all our teams got to get better. Heck, some of our teams can't get no worse, okay? But if any team needs the best 2026, it has to be the Atlanta Braves. But I want your opinion. 404-726-0929. Does the Falcons need a better 2026? Because 2025 is disappointing. We got one more game to go. We know we're done, okay? We got one more game to go. Then we can see what draft pick we're gifting the Los Angeles Rams, okay? The Braves training camp or spring training will be first, second week of February. The Hawks, you got a second half of the year to make us feel better about yourselves. And Atlanta United, Atlanta, new coach, players coming back, just don't finish next to last. I mean, there's nowhere that Atlanta United can go but up, right? All right, so we got one on the line, 404-726-0929. The question is simple. What team in this town needs the best 2026? Who we got out here? We got Lewis in Douglasville. Lewis, what's your team? Lewis, are you there? Sound like you're on the road.
Hey, is this me?
Yeah, go ahead, Lewis. In 2026.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing? Happy New Year. In 2026, which team in this town needs the best year?
I think it has to be Atlanta United, because if we don't do well, we're just going to be Nostalgia FC again, bringing back Tata, bringing back Almiron. You know, those were our players in 2018. But, you know, we have to be able to either perform again this year or else we're just going to look like a team that brings back superstars just to sell tickets.
And that is a really, really good valid point, because – I mean, the bottom line is this. With this town being one of the major hubs for the World Cup coming up next year, Atlanta United, if they have another bad year, they could be one of the quickest who cares stories in this town, and we don't need that. This town is really exciting when Atlanta United is playing quality soccer, okay? And this would be a great year for it to be. Think about it. With the World Cup semifinals coming here, if Atlanta United is playing great soccer at the same time, this town could get a real rejuvenation of our soccer fan base. But the question's out there, 404-726-0929. Which team in this town, Braves, Falcons, Hawks, United, or even the Dogs, needs the best 2026? Because I looked back, all of the 2025s, all of the 2025s were just not good. New year, though. 404-726-0929. We'll get your calls at the top of the hour right here on Time Out with Eric Slaughter.